Our second and much simpler reading continues the story as Matthew tells. Listen for God's word for us. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what had been written by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Well, this Advent, we are engaging in some holy imagination, imagining what it would be like to visit the home of each of the gospel writers for Christmas. We stopped by Mark's house last week. Of course, Mark knows nothing of Christmas, only knowing of Jesus as an adult. But we learned from Mark, you don't need to know of mangers or magi to know that when you are in the wilderness, the Son of God is going to show up. The mood changes this week. We're invited to share Christmas with Matthew. You will hear music as you draw near to his home. They are gathered around the piano singing, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." "We Three Kings" is a favorite at Matthew's house. He has a tree with bright lights and, of course, an angel on top. Out in the front yard, you'll notice an illuminated star hanging from a tree out there, and around the trunk, there's a ribbon tied that says, "It's a boy." What you notice most of all is the crowd. Including the Magi, these kings or wise men or astrologers, whoever they are, they have shown up as something of party crashers, actually. It's a bit surprising to find them there. But evidently Matthew threw the door open wide. Evidently Matthew will, welcome anyone, I suppose. Based on the crowd gathered at Matthew's house, you might think it is a festival of some sort. But the truth is, it's just a family reunion. All of Joseph's family is there, and I mean all of them. Sitting in some easy chairs over by the fire, you'll find Abraham. He's Joseph's great-great, 40 times great-grandfather. He's got some years on him now, as does the guy sitting next to him. That would be King David. Oddly enough, Matthew can't celebrate Christmas without these guys. They are heroes of Judaism. It actually may surprise you, but at Matthew's house, Christmas is a Jewish festival. It's a Jewish celebration. I know. This is what I mean. Matthew understands Christmas to be the celebration of the birth of the Messiah. The Messiah is the promised one of Judaism. If you are worshiping the Messiah, the faith you are practicing is Judaism. That's how Matthew understands it. And Matthew is Jewish, and the people at his house are all Jewish, well, except for the Magi, and we need to find out who let them in. But we should start where Matthew starts, and that's with the family tree. Abraham is the father of Isaac, it begins. You remember them, Abraham and Sarah, barren for decades until that time God invited Abraham to count the stars together and said, "You'll have as many as there." And then Isaac was born. Technically, Isaac wasn't the first of Abraham's children. It's a messy story. Isaac is the father of Jacob. You may remember Jacob and Esau. Every time Esau turned around, he was being snookered out of something by Jacob, including right here. The genealogy mentions nothing of Esau, just Jacob. The baby brother gets all the attention. The baby always gets all the attention. It goes on generation after generation. Jesse was the father of David, the shepherd boy, giant slayer who becomes king. And with every name, there's a story. The stories continue all the way down to Mathan, who is the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, and Joseph is the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus is born. It's clear that Matthew has marched through the generations to show that Jesus is tied to Jewish royalty, but when he gets to the last link in the chain, Joseph turns out to not to be the kid's dad, but rather the guy who marries the mother of the Emmanuel child. It's a bit messy. Now, scholars say that Joseph technically adopted Jesus when he named him. Okay, but after generation of generation of the father of the father of the father of to become the husband of, it's messy. When we lived in Kansas City, we used to drive out Old 69 Highway to a Christmas tree farm, and there our family would cut down a tree and bring it home. And every year we brought home the perfect tree, and I can testify to you it was the perfect tree because our kids required us to inspect every tree on that 6-acre farm until we got the perfect tree. This is the closest I've ever come to hunting. Well, last weekend, Carol and I, we got our Christmas tree. The process is a bit different from us here. I dropped her off at Ace Hardware. I drove around the block. When I got there, she was standing out front with a tree all wrapped up in that mesh stuff. We took it home. I said, well, we might as well open it and see what we got. And it was less than perfect. But it's hard to tell when they're all tied up in that stuff, you know? And so we opened it up, and she said, well, we'll put that side in the corner. We always have the tree in the corner, and a little extra light's here. It'll do, she said. It'll do nicely. We've journeyed from the perfect tree to it'll do. When it comes to the family tree of Jesus, it's more of an Ace Hardware tree. It's got its problem spots, and Matthew makes no effort to hide them in the corner or cover them with lights. He brings them right out in the open. Now, Jesus' family tree is not unique. I suppose most family trees are of the Ace Hardware variety. My grandfather, he ran away from home as a kid. He hopped a train in Maine, riding as far south as he could go, and by some freak accident, he fell off of the train when it was in Charleston, South Carolina. He broke his arm and bumped his head. The arm healed, but the jolt to his noggin gave him some amnesia. He could not remember his own name. He was in the children's ward at Roper Hospital, all the beds lined up against the wall, and they were identified by letters of the alphabet. So he was in bed R. He didn't remember his name, so he just took a name from the children's ward, bed R, and his name was Ward R. I am embarrassed to tell you how long I believe that story. The truth is, when he was a child, his mother died, and his father brought him to Charleston. That part is true. And then his father, when he was an early teen, died, leaving him alone in his teen years. He lived in an upstairs room over the Leland Moore paint store, and he spent his whole life in the paint business. For reasons he would never tell us, he did not wish to contact his family of origin. Years later, my uncle was in the service, and he was in New England, and he met some other people named R. There are not a lot of us. My uncle called my grandfather and said, I think I've found family. And my grandfather said, do not talk to those people. You come home right now. My uncle's in the service, and my grandfather's telling him to come home like he's late for curfew. I don't know what was going on with that part of my family, but my assumption is it was a bit messy. Matthew would get that. A closer read of Jesus' family trees reveals more than a few branches that would raise an eyebrow or two in ancient Israel. There are five women named to start with. That was not the norm in those days. No, ancient genealogies were all men, the father of the father of the father of. Judah was the father of Perez by Tamar. Tamar, a brave woman in her own right. But she was a Canaanite. It's odd that Matthew would insist that we remember that in Jesus' family line, there's a Canaanite woman there. Not just Tamar, Ruth is there, and Ruth is Moabite. There was no love for Moabites in Israel. Deuteronomy says, not even their descendants to the 10th generation can be welcomed in the assembly of the people. Rahab is there, and well, Rahab has her own story. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. It's awkward. Not sure why Matthew is doing all of this, but not as significant as David, the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah. The revered king assaulted Bathsheba and then tried to cover it up, and when that failed, he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in battle. That's a story that seldom gets lifted up in the family reunions, but Matthew pulls no punches. Turns out Jesus' family tree is a bit messy. Pat Conroy is a writer, and most of what he writes he's taken from his own family life. In his book, The Death of Santini, he describes his abusive father this way. I came into the world as the son of a Marine Corps fighter pilot as fierce as Achilles. He was comfortable with machine gun fire and napalm. He fought well and honorably in three wars, and at one time was one of the most highly decorated Marine aviators in the Corps. He was also meaner than a rat, and I remember hating him even when I was in diapers. Every family is messy, and it continues to be messy to the end with Jesus, because there's another woman who's a surprise in this family tree. It's Mary, who's engaged to Joseph, who is of King David's line, descendant of Abraham. And Mary must be in someone's line, but Matthew makes no mention of who it is. We know over 40 generations of Joseph's family, but Mary just drops out of nowhere. She could be anybody. She could be anybody. Maybe that's the point. She could be anybody. Mary gives birth to the Emmanuel child, and Joseph adopts him. That's how we read the story, most of us. But my wise friend, Reverend Scott Black Johnston, he says, maybe it should be read the other way around. What Joseph hears from the angel is, pay attention. What I am saying is, it is you, Joseph, who are being adopted. In and through this baby, you and your whole family, stretching all the way back to Abraham, as messy as it is, are being adopted by God. And because Joseph's family is the way it is clear that at the end of the day, we belong to God, not because of any goodness in us, but because of the undying goodness in God. And that would be quite a story, but it doesn't end there. If we'd kept reading, remember we would have found out those crashers of this family reunion, the magi, the wise guys, whoever they are. We don't really know who magi were, but we do know this. They weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles, crashing this Jewish family reunion. And it seems pretty clear why Matthew wants to make sure we know they're there. Because the grace of the Messiah extends beyond any family limit. Gentiles, too, are adopted in this holy love. Matthew's house, with all of its Jewish focus, turns into an international bazaar. There are flags of every nation and foods of every ethnicity. For the Gentile party crashers to discover, we are all family now. I hope you have a joyful Christmas. But given that every family is normal until you get to know them, then they are all a bit dysfunctional, because all of us are a bit dysfunctional from time to time when we're honest with ourselves. That's why it's helpful for us to spend some time with Matthew, because he will remind you there is no brokenness in you that disqualifies you from being included in the family of God. There is no lack. There is no weakness. There is no failure that disqualifies you from being included in the family of God. Because with God, we are never defined by the worst that's in us, but by the best that is in God. And in the grace of this God, our names too have been written into the branches of the family tree of this Emmanuel child. You can trust that. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.